for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
It's Monday.
It is.
Terry and Gatch Comedy Show 656.
We talk about scalping and tickets.
Yeah, not heads. We talk about how the Pope just loves the internet.
And the hog's stomachs.
Oh, yeah, and crazy Floridians make it in the mix today.
And spontaneous cuntbustion.
Thanks for listening, guys. Everybody, welcome to a mellow Monday. We're cruising on the catamaran with Caius. This is Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. Welcome to it. I'm Terry. And he's...
I'm Gatch.
Gatch.
I'm Robert Trujillo.
And man, yesterday was so... The whole weekend was so sunny and nice. It was cold, but God, it makes me want winter to be done with. I just want winter to be over. It's cold. We've been burning a lot of wood. I keep running out of wood. I have to scramble for wood. I feel like burning my old leg just to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave that to my wife, fair and square. So
yeah, you're running out of wood, huh?
Oh, we are. I had to borrow some from my dad. I just need to buy some. I hate buying stuff. I hate spending money on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad enough that I am okay with spending it on bills, but I just feel like I try to be responsible and pay my bills, and then I just have a little bit of money left over, and I just don't want to spend it because I don't want to be broke.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because I know I've got a couple weeks till, you know, or a week or so before my next check comes, and I'm like, fuck. I hate being broke, so I'd rather not buy stuff and go without and just have some money in my wallet. I didn't realize that until my wife said, it's bullshit. We have money. You just want to have money in your wallet. And I was like, that's right. And it's not,
a comforting feeling.
I'm not
going to
walk around and go, look, I got money in my wallet. I'm just going to know that if I'm somewhere and I need some money, I got it.
Financially.
Or if, like, my favorite band in the whole world came around to the Eugene area and I just wanted to spend all my money on that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I want to touch on a little bit before we... You heard about the big show coming to Eugene, did you?
What's that?
Tool.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sold out in 30 minutes.
Nice.
Floor seats were $83.50 plus a $19 charge. $19 in fees now for online ticketing through whatever Matthew Knight.
Just one ticket?
Yeah. A piece. Then, like you said, if you want to mail to you, it's probably an extra $2.99 a piece. Mm-hmm. So there was some people that went, and Toby, I know he's a huge fan of Tool because Grinch mm-hmm. was big influenced by Tool. Said that he got the runaround, and if it wasn't for his friend having his credit card, like they double charged him and they wouldn't reverse the charges, and then he missed a security question the next time, and then they wouldn't let him use his card, and it was just I just heard that it was a total
online ticket buying. It's not fun.
It was a nightmare for everybody. And then I saw people over the weekend, Saturday night, and they're like, yeah, cool, we're going to two. Like, did you get your tickets? They're like, no. And I was like, well, it sold out in 30 minutes. They're like, no, it didn't. And I was like, yeah, and Yob's opening, you know? And they're like, oh, no way. And I was like, yeah. I go, you can get tickets, but it's probably unless you find someone who has a couple extras who's not a scalper.
Mm-hmm.
There was a dude posting on there, I'm selling mine for $300. I bought 10, and I'm selling them for $300 a piece.
Hmm.
And somebody kind of fucked with
them. Yeah, see, the last thing you want to do, if you're doing that, the last thing you want to do is tell people.
And somebody said that. He's like, oh, blabbing on Facebook, you know? This is a Tool post. They could choose. They could Google Tool, and this post could come up. And he's like, "Well, fuck it. I paid $300 for Rush tickets 2 years in a row, so I'm getting my money back." And they're like, "From the Tool fans, though? What is the fact that you paid $300 for Rush tickets have to do with the fact But, you know, some people got lucky and their friends bought a big old gaggle of tickets and sold them for face value. Floyd thought there was no way he's going to get to go. And it was going to be the first time Tool ever came to the Northwest that Floyd wasn't going to get to go because he's another huge Tool fan. I'm just a huge Tool.
I saw him the first time around at the Armory.
I caught a little slack.
In 92.
I posted a thing that tried to be as equal as possible because I was just getting tired of everybody posting, and I knew that they had spent so much. And I said, glad that everybody that got their tickets for Tool, but personally, they don't do anything for me. And I got a couple blasphemy. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I've tried to like them. I've tried to like them a lot. I've had a lot of friends.
They kind of lost me after... Enema.
Yeah, and when that came out, my friend had just came back from California, and he had heard of it, and I hadn't really heard it. I wasn't listening to the radio much, and he had an awesome stereo, and it kind of got me for a minute, because when you rock that shit, and you're like baked, or I had another friend tell me, I was like, oh, you like Tool? I remember last year you used to make fun of somebody because they like Tool, and they're like, well, that was before I took acid and listened to Tool all night. I said, well, I can understand that because that can have a real effect on your soul and your mind. I go, so I respect that or whatever, but I never took acid and listened to Tool, so meh, they don't really. And then Pat really got into him for a while. Pat's a big Tool fan.
Yeah.
He's a big Tool.
I don't hate their newer stuff.
I don't either.
I like, you know, I really like that Undertow.
I would really rather listen Opiate. To Tool. I'd love to listen to Tool rather than Justin Bieber or Katy Perry you know, so.
That's so is it cool. It's a seated show?
There's floors. I don't know. Floor tickets, they said. I don't know if it's floor seats. Some people said floor seats, floor tickets. I don't know how they do it. At the Rose Garden, do they have...
So it's at the Matthew Knight Arena. I'm looking at tickets. There's section 202, row C for $129.
Yeah, those were originally $60. So whoever's selling those jacked up the prices.
All right, there's section floor 2, row Q for $200.
Yeah, floor seats. Yeah, I guess people are selling them for $200. And I told the people that if you want to see them bad enough, then you can still go see them.
Here it looks like a general admission section, floor 3, row X. Well, I guess any floor.
Right.
That's going 3 tickets for $912.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, most people paid $250 for two floor tickets.
There's
after.
Floor tickets D, $360 each.
Nice. People are making a little bit of money off the Tool.
I've done that before. I've done it on a couple shows. One was... to help me go see Ween in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had... they sold out in Portland, so I bought 2 tickets to Seattle and traded them to 4 Portland tickets. And
that's cool.
And one time, I think I bought 8 tickets and sold... I think... 3 at face value, kept 2 for myself, and then sold like 3, I think, for like $20 more or something like that.
Yeah, I think the only tickets I've ever sold was when I won those tickets of Patton Oswalt, and I couldn't go because I had a show at Helium that night. And so I just put them on Craigslist, and we were on our way to Salem. We stopped and met the guy outside the Elsinore Theater, and I just sold them for face value.
Yeah. It's a tough thing, man. Because if you don't do it, other people are going to do it.
Yeah, and you know someone that wants to see him bad enough is going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. And you almost, you know, I mean, if you got the money, why not do it and charge somebody less when you're scalping them?
Right.
And make some money. And then, you know, kind of undercut the other scalpers. I don't know. It's just... It's lame because to the bands, because the bands aren't seeing any of that money when they could charge that much. You know, it's like people will pay $300 to go see Tool. Well, why aren't they?
Yeah, and that's probably why a lot of bands that can charge
They charge $300 for a ticket, though, they'd be fucking blasted, wouldn't they? If Tool said $300 a ticket, that's what people want to pay to see us.
They would. People,
you know, and
their
core
group, I think, would pay just like the Stones and stuff like that, and Paul McCartney. They charged $150 or $300 a ticket.
So would you be cool if, like,
No. I don't care who it is. I wouldn't go.
Well, yeah, but see, like...
Sorry.
I don't want to say the Eagles. Say Dave Grohl.
Okay.
Was playing. He cloned himself, and it was the Dave Grohl band.
All right.
And you could pay... he could come out and say, tickets are going to be $500.
Nope.
Or tickets would sell out before you could get them, and you're going to end up paying $500 or more anyway. What would you prefer?
I wouldn't go. Like I said, I have trouble spending money.
But it's the Dave Grohl clone band.
Well, then he should come to my house and hang out with me.
All six of them?
Just whatever. Yeah, you could do a three-piece. I think a Dave Grohl three-piece would be pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
They'd all be singing. Like... play the drums, bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. And then another thing I was bummed about is Saturday night was the Mike Birbiglia show, and I didn't have money to go, and I did the bleeping funny thing at 5 o'clock, which, by the way, was our most stellar turnout. It was completely packed. There was over 50 people in that little bar, and it was awesome. I had a great time. It was a great lineup. But then, like, when I got out of there, we was going to go have some pizza with some friends because they came to the show, and then... after it was too late, I saw a text from Seth Milstein who said that he just got bestowed 6 tickets to Mike Birbiglia. If you want them, meet me outside. And everyone thought, oh, I'm broke. I can't, because they thought he was going to sell them. And then some people said, oh, I'm broke. And he's like, oh, after he got back to his phone, he's like, I just gave away 5 tickets out front of the McDonald's, so you guys should have came down here. But I missed my. I didn't see the message till he was already in. So, But yeah, that was nice of Seth to give away 5 tickets to Mike Birbiglia. He could have sold them. I don't think it was sold out, but he still probably could have sold them.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to share comedy with everybody. And speaking of Seth, I've been saying every week. I've been talking about on plugs and talk about Seth doing a show at the Granary. That's no more. It didn't happen this Saturday, and he said the Granary is done with comedy for a while. So that's a sad, sad situation. But. Friday, he will be at Denny's at the Grand Slam Comedy Show. And Josh said guaranteed huge crowd this week because there's going to be a company party. I don't know if it's a Denny's company party, but he said there's going to be a buttload of people there.
Hmm.
So, we'll see. We'll see, dude. But also at that show will be Max Brockman, Mac Chase, and Mike McGowan. And I recorded a little bit of the Sam Bond show. I'd like to play a little clip here of Max Brockman. This is funny. Check him out.
Sometimes I like to smoke a plant. I won't say which plant, but I will say this. It starts with marijuana and ends with both of my arms stuck in Pringles cans.
That is nice.
One more,
some
Max.
People say that I walk weird, but I don't walk weird. I just walk according to what music I'm listening to at the time. Like when I listen to rock, I walk fast. When I listen to alternative, I walk slow. And when I listen to Nickelback, I walk off a cliff.
All right. A couple jokes from Max there. So I don't know if you guys out there listening have ever heard him or if you've ever seen, you ever seen Max?
I don't think so.
Yeah. He is a one-liner from hell. Pretty funny guy. So there's a little clip of what you could come and see on Friday night, 9 o'clock. It's a free show, but you could donate to the comics because they're driving
a
good amount of ways, and they've been perfect. These 4 guys are actually involved in the whole Eugene comedy scene. Mac Chase runs 2 open mics. Seth has done shows for years in Eugene, and Mike McGowan does a show, and Max hosts the Green Room sometimes. So all 4 of these guys, great comics. So come and check them out.
Do it.
I'm trying to talk Gatchin into doing a set. I'm going to host, but I think I'm going to do the headline thing next month. So,
you know who are still alive?
Morgan Freeman is.
Captain and Tennille.
Ah, dude, but you know what?
They're divorcing.
Love obviously cannot keep them together.
I know.
Love.
They're in their 70s, dude. They're in their early 70s.
And when I saw that headline, I thought, they're not dead. And then I thought, they're still married? And then I thought, who fucking cares?
Well, what have they been doing? They haven't been writing any hits.
They fell out of the Muskrat Love. That was the other big hit, Muskrat Love, which I don't even understand what that means. A muskrat is pretty gross.
Yeah.
It's like a nutria, kind of, isn't it?
Yep.
What's Muskrat Love, dude? I don't even know. It's a good song I heard.
I don't know. Is that anything like a feral hog?
Maybe.
Dude, because check this out. Are you familiar with a guy by the name of Stephen Fromholtz?
I talked to him once, but I'm not that familiar. No, I don't know who that is.
He played with Stephen Stills, Lyle Lovett, and Willie Nelson. He was like an outlaw country guy.
Is he a guitarist or?
Yeah, he was a singer-songwriter.
Oh, so he wasn't in their bands. He just toured with them and played.
I think he did songs with them or something.
Okay.
But he was fatally injured this week when a rifle fell from its case and discharged.
Oh, God.
As he was preparing to go and hunt some...
feral hogs?
Feral hogs who were killing his baby goats on his ranch in El Dorado.
Wow.
Sounds like a song there,
dude,
doesn't it?
Dude, a feral hog sounds fucking scary. Have you seen that Hog Hunter show?
No.
There's a show.
I know, there's got to be one, right?
And it's this family, and they go out and hunt wild boars. It's called mm-hmm. Hog Hunters, and there's a chick that's all tomboy and fat. I was talking to a guy the other night that doesn't have TV, that just likes to watch movies and stuff, and...
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was Al. It was Al. Yeah. And we were telling him about a show, and he's like, that's a show? Yo, I can't believe that's
next
a show.
Next thing you know, you're going to have people noodling for feral pigs on a TV show.
What's it? What does that mean?
Like, you know, catfish when you catch them with your... By sticking your fist down their throat or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So where was this? This,
El Dorado, Texas.
Oh, Texas. I got a little pig story.
All right.
Apparently, it's not a good thing when pigs fly. In South Carolina, a woman was arrested for stabbing her coworker in the neck with scissors because she believed that the alleged victim had thrown a hog stomach at her. They're just throwing hog stomachs around in South Carolina. I wonder if it was a feral hog stomach.
Was it like empty or just like full and
well,
weird?
The police arrested 19-year-old Johnette Brown at her home following the altercation, which occurred in the kill room at the Carolina Pride on Sunday morning. What the fuck's the kill room? It must be a processing center for...
Well, they might actually stuff and cook something in that pig stomach. You know, like... Southern cooking, man. They do some crazy thing. You know, they're cooking oxtails. And
the lady denied hitting Brown with the hog stomach. She even said that there were no hog stomachs on the table that the two women were working on. So
she went out of her way to go and get a hog stomach.
It's a he shed, she shed, something she saying. Victim told police she hit Brown with closed fists in the face and body so she would not be stabbed again after she was stabbed in the neck.
Crazy.
So, yeah, don't be throwing no hog stomachs down in South Carolina. You get stabbed in the neck. It's funny that you brought up a pig story.
That is, yeah.
Odd. Odds and sods. That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm. You know who also died this week is Graham Stevenson.
We didn't talk about anybody dying.
Yeah, the guy died in the shot.
That's right. Okay, I thought we were talking about people who didn't die, which was Captain Tennille. I totally erased that whole other part.
Mm-hmm. But Graham Stevenson,
who's he?
English cricketer.
Oh, dude, I'm fucking sad, dude.
It's my new segment, Dead Cricketer.
We should just have birthdays,
dead crickets,
for all the fucking rugby players and the cricketers that are probably really popular.
Here's another strange one. Tsutomu Kawaguchi, Japanese ice hockey player.
Say that again?
Japanese ice hockey player?
His name.
Tsutomu Kawaguchi.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. What happened
to him? I'm not sure. He was just a Japanese ice hockey player. I didn't know they played hockey.
Oh, you thought they were like black people?
No, I just... Dude, black people play hockey. I saw Clyde Drexler play hockey.
Yeah, it was novelty.
On another show.
It was a novelty, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you see more than one black player playing hockey, you're probably watching a Foo Fighters video.
Okay, you got a Central African Islamic leader, Joseph Khalit.
Khalit?
Mm-hmm. He died this week. From a machete attack.
Holy shit, that's brutal.
That is, man.
That doesn't happen a lot in America. I mean, you could get stabbed in the neck with a pair of scissors for throwing a hog stomach, but you're not going to get a machete attack.
Yeah. I don't know. Unless you're cut. If the person would have died from the scissors, it would have been just as crazy.
You know, as a teenager, I used to work for people cutting brush back, you know, clearing out briar patches and whatnot, mm-hmm. use a machete, and you're with your buddy who is a teenager as you are, and sometimes tempers can flare. I can mm-hmm. see that. You did what to my girlfriend? Thwack! Oh, shit.
What do you think the deaths are per year for machetes versus scissors?
Well, I know this, that I was never trained as a child to not run with a machete.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
But I would say that the machete attacks and deaths are probably more prominent than a mm-hmm. scissor death. Because yeah. you could stab someone in the neck with a pair of scissors, and the lady can still punch you in the face and body with closed fists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it didn't really do much to her except for yep. piss her off and make her say there were no hog stomachs even on the table. That's going to be the theme of the whole show is hog stomachs.
Pious Turkey. He died, too. He was an Indian politician.
Pious Turkey?
Pious Turkey was his name.
Fuck, dude. There was a guy at the comedy show last night that came out to see me and the rest of them, and he had a pie shirt on, and it was like a mirror image of pie. It said 3.16, and then there was a line, and then it was backwards, so it was like backwards 6.1, backwards 3, and then on the bottom
3.14, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, 3.14. And then on the below the 3.14,
mm-hmm.
it said it had the pi symbol,
mm-hmm.
and then below the backwards 3.14, it had a picture of a piece of pie, which I don't really get that. And then another lady had saw it, and that was what made it funny. He goes, as his older friend said, I don't get it. This is pi. And he goes, she goes, well, do you know what pi is? And she goes, well, yeah, it's 3.14 blah, 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 billion decimals.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, but why is there a man in a boat? Because the piece of pie, I guess, if you look at it just right, it kind of looks like a little dude in a little triangle. Because it's a triangle piece of pie with a little, like, dollop of stuff on top. So, and I was like,
mm-hmm. wow.
Why does she think that that's a clitoris? I don't understand. The man in the boat. He goes, I get it now. It was Jim Lauderdale. It was pretty funny.
That's funny.
But yeah, I don't understand why the opposite of the mirror image of 3.14 and the pie symbol, why it's just, I guess, someone's stupid idea of a shirt.
I don't know. People wear things.
People make things.
Mm-hmm.
People buy things. Mm-hmm. You stuck to any of your 2014 New Year's resolutions, or did you have any?
I didn't really make any.
I didn't either. That's why I've stuck to all of them that I made, because there's none.
New Tarantino broke one of his, though. Did you hear about that?
Oh, he made one even? I didn't hear about that. He's going to make more movies.
No, he's decided not to make his next movie.
At all?
Yep.
Why?
Because it got leaked on the internet by someone.
Oh.
He only gave the script to 3 people, dude.
And somebody
leaked like 6 it. People. And the one that he knows did not have anything to do with the leak is Tim Roth. And it seemed like he was suspecting someone's agent. I can't remember. Who was another guy that he works with all the time?
The Weinsteins?
No. He said he hadn't given Jackson the script yet.
Oh, you mean actors. Okay, Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
Tim Roth. Harvey Keitel?
No.
John Travolta was a one-off.
Yeah.
Who else? I guess Steve Buscemi was in a few, but
no, I don't know. I can't remember. But he said that
is it that new guy that's in all of his movies that played the dentist on Django, and he also played the guy in Inglourious Bastards.
I'm not sure. Brad Pitt?
No, that guy with the accent. The guy that was the guy that bought Django.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, the guy that bought him in the first place at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That guy with the fucking accent. He's like Austrian or something.
Yeah.
But he's been in the last two.
This script was called The Hateful Eight, and it was going to be his next movie.
Was it Michael Madsen?
Yeah, he said he doesn't want to say who it is, but he said that he planned to publish it as a book, and then he's going to make another movie and maybe make this one again. Huh. But he's going to release the script for money. He was so mad he was going to shelve the script and work on a different one, publish this one in book form instead.
Huh.
It was Michael Madsen. Or yeah. Bruce Dern. And we got an email from the agents of Michael Madsen, one of the actors, along with Bruce Dern and Paul, or Tim Roth, who got the scripts.
Right. And, it was Michael Madsen. He sold it to somebody because he needed some fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
He was Kill Bill's brother.
Yeah, he said that Madsen's agency is saying that they never got the script. And
see, that's
he knows it wasn't Tim Roth, and so he's suspecting Bruce Dern's agency somehow in there.
Well, he's worked with Michael Madsen way longer than Bruce Dern.
Yeah.
Bruce Dern was just in a last couple, maybe in, I can't remember what.
Yeah.
Well, those bastards. Thanks for ruining it for us fucking Bruce Dern's people.
Yeah, but he's going to skip this one and then go do another one. But that one was The Hateful Eight. You know what that one was about, right?
Nope.
It was like a Western, you know, of eight people.
Like The Dirty Dozen, kind of, which is an
kind of like that kind of a thing. Now is he just creating buzz?
Probably. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
Buzz. Buzz Lightyear. Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Yep. So, I haven't read it, but it is available online, I guess.
Wow. Would you have to illegally download it? It's just out there for everybody. And
I don't know how you'd get it. I didn't really look. You got to figure you'd be able to just read it PDF form, right?
Yeah. You'd think. If you could just download it somewhere. I got stuffy nose. God damn it.
Yeah. So is he kind of just throwing a tantrum about it?
Sounded like it. And then the way everybody will read it and they'll like it, and then they'll all be sure to watch his next movie, which like they were probably going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy people. Uh-oh. You know what that noise means. Do you?
Yeah.
It's crazy Floridian time. Authorities in Florida said a man suspected of operating a marijuana grow house refused to open the door because he wanted to smoke a joint first. He asked him nicely. The deputies, they executed a search warrant on Tuesday at the suspected house in Poinciana, Florida. He refused to open the door, and when they identified themselves, he told them that they were going to have to wait. They could smell the odor of marijuana through the door, and he told them he just wanted to smoke a joint before letting them come inside. He eventually opened the door, and they found 190 marijuana plants being grown in three rooms in his house. He had an active warrant for his arrest in another county. He was jailed on charges of maintaining a dwelling for drug manufacturing. Cultivation of cannabis, possession of cannabis with intent to sell, and possession of drug paraphernalia. They were hoping they could charge him with the other one of making him wait while he smoked a joint. But there was no charge for that, so it's pretty ballsy.
Hey, yeah,
you guys, I'm going to jail. I just need you to let me smoke one joint. And here's another one. It'll wrap it up for today's crazy Florida people. The wildlife officials in Florida are seeking applicants for a crocodile handling position. No experience necessary. If you'd like to try your hand, the Wildlife Conservation Commission says the job pays $25 an hour, and it will consist of responding to complaints of nuisance crocodiles in the Miami-Dade County Upper Keys, where the number of complaints has recently risen. The chosen applicant will be responsible for capturing and relocating crocodiles in some areas, as well as explaining to residents in areas designated as crocodile habitats, but the reptiles are there to stay.
Hmm.
We're looking for someone who's low-key and non-confrontational, they said. No experience necessary, but they would receive on-the-job training from an experienced croc handler.
Well, you'd have to, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't
have something.
To.
Well, yeah. I guess you wouldn't have to. Hey, just come and wrestle some alligators.
You might find a crazy motherfucker that just wants a guy. $25 an hour, Florida? I'm on Miami Beach, rolling fucking dirty with crocodiles. So, hey, if you guys would like to do that, I know it's hard to find a job these days, so head on out to Florida. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission looking for a croc handler.
Yeah. Would you do it?
I would not. Yeah. Well, I guess I could always stick my best leg forward if they started to attack. I'll put my best foot forward, and if they bit it, it wouldn't hurt. And I'm sure they might have some kind of insurance. Well, they probably wouldn't with a fucking job title like that.
Yeah.
You get low medical benefits. We cover up to 40 stitches. The rest you'll have to pay for.
One stitch at a time.
That's right. One more stitch, please, doctor. So that's it for the crazy Floridians. We'll talk about those guys more on another episode.
Dude, people be crazy all over in...
Well, let's have another crazy area.
In Popeville.
Oh, I think I heard about the Pope.
He released two doves for peace this week, and they were immediately attacked by two larger birds.
What?
They were, dude.
That's what happens. If you try, the nice guys always finish last. Peaceful birds always get attacked first.
What do you think that says, though? The Pope's standing there releasing two pigeons, and there's like 30,000 people like standing around watching.
Don't you think God was That's up there huge. Looking, too? And he's like, hey, this is my representative of my peoples. Watch the doves. He doesn't have a control to say, hey, you other birds, just fucking chill out for a minute or else I will strike you down with the power of my own fucking self.
There are two different birds, too. One was a crow. And one
those
was
are
a,
Satan birds right there.
And one was a seagull.
They're close second to Satan. They'll shit on you. They'll disrupt your picnic.
Yeah. It's like, but all you got to do is feed them Rolaids.
Yeah. Yeah, or a plastic sack. If they'll eat that, I don't know. But so that's not what I thought you were going to say about the Pope. Did you hear what I heard about the Pope?
What?
The Pope the other day said something about the internet. He said, and this is funny to me if I can find it real quick. He said that the internet is a gift from God, and he lauded the web for creating a sense of unity of the human family. This is Pope Francis. His Holiness released the statement as part of the Catholic Church's World Communications Day.
I think this guy believes in aliens.
Well, that's true. But the reason he likes the internet so much because it's easier to troll little boys. Because, you know, like Pope John Paul had a hard... He would have to actually... go to events and stuff and try to be nice to little boys. But did you know that as Francis's predecessor, Pope Benedict 16?
Yeah.
He was the first pope to ever use Twitter. And thank God for that. Let our communication be a balm which relieves pain and a fine wine which gladdens hearts. May the light we bring to others not be the result of cosmetics or special effects, E.I. Photoshop, I think he's talking about, but rather
how do they know though?
Merciful
how do they
neighbors.
Know their Twitter wasn't around in 1483, and the Pope was part of it?
Let us boldly become citizens of the digital world. The revolution is taking place in communications media, and in the information technologies represent a great and thrilling challenge. Dude, how long has the internet been around?
He's 20 some years.
Yeah. Come on, dude. Get with the times. There was something. May we respond to that challenge with fresh energy and imagination as we seek to share with others the beauty of God. Oh, I see. They're tweeting godly things.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Those birds for peace never got to tweet.
Nope. They're like, Twitter, Twitter. What did the people do when the birds... died. and all that, that 30,000.
I just watched.
Was there a sudden gasp of, could you imagine 30,000 people going,
yeah. It would be weird because it would take some time because it wasn't like they just took them and took off, you know? I mean, they attacked the birds and birds tried to get away and the other birds kept going after them and...
and it ended in death.
Yeah, and they were pecking at them. It was weird, but do you think the Pope like set it up, though?
It's Alfred Hitchcock.
And you think he, like, before he totally set these doves free, let's release some... just predatory birds out, a seagull
training,
and a crow.
I've been training this crow and this seahawk. Is it a seahawk? Is there a difference between a seahawk and a seagull?
I don't know what a seahawk really is.
Oh, it's a football team.
I know.
They're going to the Super Bowl. Did you hear that?
I did. I did.
Now, this is only the second time they've ever been to the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first time was just like 5 years ago or something? Or 6, 7?
Oh,
2006?
Sure, yeah, that sounds about right.
Why do I know so much about sports? I just looked into it a little bit because of the Weed Bowl thing, you know, like like the fucking NFL isn't set up. Duh. The Patriots.
We talked about that before even all the news people picked it up.
Yeah, the Patriots, fucking whatever. 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom. Next big thing. I don't know.
It could. The seahawk may refer to, in ornithology, to either the osprey or the skua.
Huh. Skua?
Mm-hmm. So you got your osprey, and everybody's seen an osprey, right?
Why didn't they call them the Seattle Ospreys?
The osprey is sometimes known as the seahawk, fish eagle, or fish hawk, and it's a diurnal fish-eating bird of prey.
Urinal?
It is a large raptor.
I remember seeing a fish hawk as a child as we were fishing on Clear Lake. A fish hawk snatched up a fish and flew away with it. It's pretty impressive to be like a little 6 or 7 year old kid and see this. My dad's all, check out the fish hawk. And I'm all, fish hawk? What the fuck's a fish hawk? And here comes this bird and he just like goes down to the water and splash. And then up he comes with a fish. And he's like, that's a fish hawk. And I was like, Dad, why don't you catch fish like that? Like, for one, son, I can't fucking fly, you idiot. Number two, I have no claws. A boat is dry. Fishing pole, easy to hold. Take notes, son.
Yeah.
And that's when I stopped fishing. As soon as I saw a fish hawk, I was like, well, fuck that. If I can't fish like a fish hawk, I ain't fishing at all.
That's true. I'm getting beaked. Could you imagine, like, you're just swimming around and all of a sudden a bird just comes and, like, you know, gets you a bit, misses you, like he can't lift you at first. He just goes, just bites into your skin, just puts a big old chomp in your shoulder.
Well, there was that fake video a year or two ago that everybody thought was real for a couple minutes of that eagle picking up that toddler in a park.
Yeah.
Because I've seen eagles attack little baby lambs before. I saw Don Henley go down on fucking one over by a shed. We saw, actually... I didn't even know there were six eagles, but there were six eagles in a tree just outside of Brownsville. And this was back before my wife lived in Brownsville, and she had seen bald eagles in southern Oregon, but she didn't think they were around here. But during the lambing seasons, they really do come out, and there are six bald eagles. I bet you didn't know that Don Felder was bald, too, now. All bald. Even Timothy Schmidt.
Who are those people?
Eagles.
Well,
you don't know Don Felder and Timothy B. Schmidt?
That kind of sounded familiar enough to put it together.
Timothy B. Schmidt's that Indian-looking dude with he used to have the really long
He's
straight
He's the drummer, right?
No, he played bass. And
what?
No, the drummer's Don Henley, dude.
What?
Don Henley's the drummer for the Eagles.
No.
But on the new ones, he's so popular, like Phil Collins, he comes out front and plays. But like on the new
what?
Specials, he sings Hotel California and plays the drums.
What?
You didn't know he was their drummer?
No, I didn't, actually.
That's awesome, dude. That's excellent, because that's it's like the opposite of a public service announcement. The less you know about
well,
the Eagles.
Well, I thought it was just them fucking the three of those guys.
No, Glenn right? Frey.
The three of them, I thought they were all guitarists, and they just had like a session drummer
dude.
That played.
No.
Well, it shows you how much I've watched them.
Don Henley just plays guitar a little bit because he's in a band. They had, okay, so They started out, they were Linda Ronstadt's backing band.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Frey on guitar.
Ronstadt and the Eagles.
Randy Meisner was an original member. James Dean! Back in the James Dean days.
Is he the guy that sung that song?
I doubt it. I don't think he sang. He just played guitar. And then they had Don Felder. So it was Don Felder and Glenn Frey were the two original. And Don Felder broke out of the Eagles and had that hit Heavy Metal from the movie Heavy Metal, the other Heavy Metal besides the Sammy Hagar mm-hmm. Heavy Metal. So it was Don Felder, Randy Meisner, Don Henley, two Dons.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Joe Walsh immediately after that.
That's when the Eagles really started.
Yeah. After they got Joe Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Timothy B. Schmidt. And I can't tell you why. He sang that one. And that was weird because he was like a long-haired Indian-looking guy. But he sang really loud. There's a new kid in town.
Like a long-haired Neville.
Was like the long run. I guess, but less the... I was overreacting to the vibrato. He didn't use that much vibrato.
But I was just... I meant the highness of the singing.
Yeah. Fucking false. It's false. I hate false metal. False music, false rock, falsetto. No.
It's kind of a weird way to sing.
No, that's why I wonder why Josh Homme sings so. I don't know why I'm singing so high. That's not my real voice, but I'm going to sing it. Oh, my fucking God.
You know why? Don't you think it's funny? Some people think salad's healthy, and then they put like a ton of salad ranch. Dressing yeah. on there that's yeah. all mayo.
Yeah.
It's the fucking people that go, I'm going to get some healthy coleslaw.
Slathered in ranch.
Yeah. A potato salad.
What do you think would happen if you snorted this stuff?
Man, you'd probably go up like, dynamite, Jimmy J. Walker.
Hey, is any of you listeners that ever snorted Keef? My nose is already all plugged up. I was wondering if it cleared.
I knew somebody who snorted red hairs one time, some red hairs and crystals.
I know I a guy that had red hairs in his nose that just grew there.
Did he trim them and smoke them?
No, yeah, he'd make fake weed with his nose hairs. He would take like oregano and Rice Krispies.
I heard you could get off by sniffing your own nostril hairs.
Now, if you sniff your own nostril hairs, you're basically smelling boogers.
No, I mean like you trim them and then you snort them.
Oh, it's a recycle. It's called a replant.
Dude,
have you ever bought
so
fake
weird.
Weed? Fake I don't know. Weed? If we, yeah, like weed that someone sold you that wasn't weed.
I don't know.
I bought fake weed once, and I've had two people come up to me who had bought some weed that wanted to smoke it, and I said, fuck, that ain't weed, dude. That's fucking some newspaper and some red string. That's what this one dude... I'm going to out you, bro, because I haven't seen you for years. Bill Eli is his name. He came over to my cousin's house. He's like, hey, you guys want to take some bong hits? And we're like, cool. I was like 17. And he's all, check this weed out. And I was like... Looking through the bag, I'm like, what kind of weed is that? And he's like, I don't know, but he said it's really good. And I'm like, I go, dude, there's an arrow on one of these. This is a piece of paper.
What?
It was like greenish colored, like newspaper clippings and like wrapped up with some red string. I said, I'm not smoking that, dude. That's not weed. And he's like, fuck, man. It's like it was one of those quick transactions. And I just gave him the money and he gave me the bag. And I was like, oh, cool. I looked at it real quick. Because if you look at it real quick, it kind of looked green.
You buy it off the street?
Well, it was the streets of Brownsville. So I was like, who did you get this from? It's like, well, I thought it was my friend, man. But one time, we bought some fake weed up at the Starry Night Club at I think it was King Diamond and Megadeth.
Mm-hmm.
Right before I got punched in the head by this asshole with a big ring on his finger and he drew blood. On me. But anyway, we went behind the little elevator area at the Roseland Theater, which used to be the Starry Night Club, and this guy, black dude, not to be racist or stereotypical or anything, but it was a black guy, and he said, hey, you guys want to buy some smoke? We're like, yeah. He's like, I got some killer smoke. Got a $10 dime bag here. And it was like a baggy cutout that was like sealed just with a lighter around the edges. So you couldn't smell it. You could see it, but it was dark in there, and you could feel it, and it was, felt like a nice big nug.
Mm-hmm. Felt like a couch cushion.
Yeah, felt, well, I think that's what it was, actually. It ended up being like a piece of a, I don't know what, but it was dark in there. And this is back in the day when you weren't afraid to just, like, load a bowl in the Starry Night Club and smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wasn't. We weren't. So we loaded it up, and I gave it my friend Randy to take the first hit, and he takes, or no, I think I took the first hit, and it was like hard to get it burning because it was like some rubbery plastic shit. And so I took a hit and didn't really get anything, and then I gave it to him, and he's like, because it was still kind of starting to go for me, and then he relit it, and then he's like, I don't think that's weed, man. So we walked over into the light and we pulled it out, and it was totally like stretchy, just like rubbery. Like it looked like weed through the baggie. It was green. It had the consistency of a nice bud and the coloration.
Yeah.
But it was just some foreign material. This guy just got busted in New Jersey for selling a teenager a bag of Rice Krispies and oregano. Imitation marijuana. Rice Krispies. That's better than newspaper and string, I think.
So you're using the Rice Krispie to form, and then it's also sticky.
Oh, okay. And maybe then, Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, and then
roll it in oregano. Rolled,
yeah,
and then it's sticky and it's
dude, that's genius.
Sparkly.
You could only do it once.
Yeah. Yeah, especially this guy. And now since us blabbing it out there, sorry, you guys could try it in areas that haven't heard our podcast. A 17-year-old girl confessed to her mother that she'd spent $210 on a plastic bag. Like, what are you buying plastic bags for $210 for? That was supposed to contain a half an ounce of marijuana. Whoa, in New Jersey, it costs $420 for an ounce? This is in Asbury Park. They called Irvin's home to report a disturbance when the girl brought her mother back to their guy's house. Said, hey, this ain't weed. So Irving admitted to officers, because she brought police there, that he sold the fake bag of pot to the teenager, and he was arrested and released for distribution of fake marijuana.
Huh.
That's a law now, I guess. That's what he was arrested
for. That's crazy.
And the 17-year-old girl was charged with a drug offense. For buying Rice Krispies and oregano, man. Fuck.
Wow. So it doesn't even matter if... I guess intent to buy is something.
Well, I've seen those stings on cops and shit where they sell fake weed or fake drugs to people and then they bust them for buying it and then they say it's not even real. This isn't even real. And he's like, well, you thought it was coke and that's what you bought. And so you're under arrest.
Why don't they just sell them coke? Because they're going to take it back anyway. I thought that's what they did. I thought they'd hand them like...
They probably do a lot of times.
Because if you're dealing with weight, you know, you always see the show. The guy sticks a knife in the bag, cuts it, and simultaneously pulls that little thing. And
tastes it.
Oh, yeah!
That was just like that South Park I was watching. Cartman met in the alley to buy a bunch of KFC. And then he takes the lid off the gravy and he tastes it. And he's like, are you trying to fuck me? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, this is cut with Boston Market gravy. He's like, it's all the same shit, man. He's like, no, it's not. You can't be putting Boston Market gravy in the KFC. He's like, well, then just don't take the gravy and I'll give you some of your... He's like, you can't have KFC without gravy. So he took the money and the goods and went back to the guy and said, I got the stuff, and I got the money.
Have you ever eaten Fruit Loops?
Yeah. Have you ever eaten a Fruit Loop donut yet from Voodoo?
Do you know the different flavors of Fruit Loops?
Red, yellow, blue, and green. No, purple.
Yep.
No, I don't know for sure.
They don't have, there's no difference in the flavor.
But why are they different colors?
They're just different colors.
Who told you that?
I read it on the internet.
Well, they're ruining shit for everybody. Did you know they're coming out with a new Oreo?
Dude, I saw that.
Cookie dough Oreo and another one that I can't remember.
It's a Rice Krispie Oreo.
Well, all right. I think they need to stop. Oreos were good when they were fucking just Oreos. Are you breathing heavy into the microphone? We're going to do some birthdays now. You know whose birthday it is?
I got one birthday.
You're not gonna know who this is. There's a weird anomaly in birthdays today.
Is it a cricketer?
No, his name's Seth Justman.
Seth Justman, happy birthday.
He is a keyboardist.
All right.
For a band that has my name in it. Not Terry.
Jay Giles Band.
Yes, nice. That was a bad clue. It was actually a really good clue, but it was bad because it was so blatant. But yeah, Seth Justman from the Jay Giles Band celebrating a birthday today. Now here comes the anomalies. Mike Patton from Faith No More celebrating his birthday, 46. He's my age, a few months older. Also, Patton Oswalt.
Ah, Mike Patton Oswalt.
And he's 45. That's the first anomaly. Mike Patton, Patton Oswalt. Then we have two friends on the list. Jason Moser, Jason Lay.
Nice.
So two people with the same first name and two people with a last name and first name. Jason Moser now been promoted to deputy.
Nice.
He's a deputy, whatever you call it.
Deputy Dog.
Deputy Dog J-Mo. And his band's opening for Loudness, which is kind of cool. Also, don't want to forget some kind of a cousin. Not really to me, but it is by marriage. My wife's cousin, Cody Stackhouse.
He should get a fake mustache.
He's thinking now he can't have it. He has a goatee, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a goatee when you're a deputy. Did you know that?
No.
But you can have a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thinking
He should clean shave and go with the fake mustache, because that would be kind of cool.
When he wants to go with the Tom Selleck.
If a cop pulled up on you and he had a fake mustache, like an obviously fake mustache.
You just rip it off. What are you trying to do, Officer Moser?
You
poser.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, he was talking about growing in the full Tom Selleck mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, is that why so many cops have mustaches? Because they can't have nothing else. They can't have a beard.
Mm-hmm.
That might explain a little bit. And that's why mustaches look like pedophiles. And that's our birthdays for today.
All those people, Mike, at some point in their birthday lives.
Mike Patton Oswalt.
Michael Jackson set his hair on fire on that Pepsi commercial 30 years ago.
Yeah, he didn't, but it did. He didn't really set it on fire, did he?
No, it caught fire.
It did catch fire, but it wasn't like he said, hey, check this out. Jeff, like a Gigi Allen. I'm Gigi Allen. Hairspray. Beat it.
That was 30 years ago, man.
Today?
Yeah.
Fuck. I remember when that happened. MTV was kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Just getting started, right?
Sounds like it. In my mind, when I hear the question in my mind, it sounds like it to me, that it was just happening around that time. But yeah, Michael Jackson, Pepsi, and now your lucky Beyonce, or whatever. How do you say it? Beyonce?
Yeah.
Beyonce. She did a Pepsi commercial. And people who win, like, American Idol.
And her crotch caught on fire.
Yeah. It was a spontaneous cunt bustion. That happens more to black people than it does to white people. I don't know if you knew that or not. Black people sometimes will just catch on fire. Do you remember that old skit from Eddie Murphy?
Uh-uh.
No, me neither. You know what it's time for now, right?
What's that?
What's in Hans's CD player today?
I don't know.
What's in CD player of Hans's? It's Monday, so he's obviously listening to a band I've never heard of. I thought it was going to be Crimson Guardian at first, and I thought it was going to be King Crimson. But no, it's the Crimson Ghosts.
Crimson Ghosts.
Hans, what are you listening to? Oh, the Crimson Ghosts. The album's called Leaving the Tomb.
Which one was the Crimson Ghost on Pac-Man?
Inky?
I think it was.
Wait, Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and there was Clyde. Clyde was the slowest, dumbest one.
I only have to type in red GH before Google says red ghost.
It's not red ghost, it's crimson.
And it's, no, it's not even the red ghost, it's the super apes.
Yeah, there's no crimson ghost on whatever you call it.
Dude, he's crimson, isn't he?
There's no crimson
ghost. If your TV's off color, he could be crimson. I mean, he's just really dark gray on my black and white TV.
They look like Ghoul Rock. Is this Ghoul Rock, Hans? Well, he was listening to the Crimson Ghost. I was listening to some old school Suicidal, because they're coming back. They're surging back into the limelight, and they're on tour with Exodus and Slayer. Suicidal, Exodus, and Slayer. I was listening to Controlled by Hatred / Feel Like Shit ... Deja Vu, which I think is the longest album title in the history of Suicidal Tendencies. It's got a slash and what do you call it when there's three dots? Isn't that got a name for that?
Slash.
Dot, dot, dot.
Uh-huh. Oh, that? Yeah. Three dots in a row.
But it's called something. The guy from Megadeth knows because he uses it a lot. Hey, if you're listening, Moser, because I'm going to tag you in this episode, and you should name your Megadeth tribute album whatever they call dot, 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 because cause that's on a lot of
Ellipsis.
Albums. You know, it's like Peace Sells, dot, 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 So Far, dot, dot, dot. One album, he had two dot, 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 three dot, dot, dots twice, and then Rust in Peace, dot, 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 nothing. No, I don't know. So Far, So Good, So What. Peace Sells, Who's Buying? Oh, Killing Is My Business, dot, dot, dot. And Business Is Good.
Yeah, it is.
So there's that. But Crimson Ghosts, though.
It's called an ellipsis.
The dot, dot, dot?
I think so. Yep, ellipsis. Or ellipses for plural.
Ellipsi.
Four dots. Oh, no, we gotta wait.
Okay, Crimson Ghosts are a horror punk band.
Yeah. Four dots is a period followed by an ellipsis indicating that the sentence ends. But there's no more to the quotation.
We've never done this, but I'm curious to find out what Hans was listening to. This isn't the album he was listening to, but... Okay. All right, Hans. Whatevs. Oh, wait, you're not supposed to say whatevs if you're over 30.
And dude, there's 30. A joke by Stephen Colbert I heard this week.
Yeah.
He was doing a thing about Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
And you know that book, A Farewell to Arms?
I've heard of it, but I don't know it.
And he says, his book, A Farewell to Arms... Something. How can you wave goodbye to your arms to say farewell?
You can't. That's another anomaly, is what you call that.
Yep.
How can you wave goodbye to your
farewell to arms? But how do you wave goodbye?
You can't. That's a good one. Good job, Stephen.
Or one of his writers.
Yeah, could have been one of his writers.
It was pretty funny.
I watched the newest
episode on. Ernest Hemingway in a book. His book club.
I was watching the newest episode of The Kroll Show. Mm-hmm. Watched that yet?
Mm-mm. Not the new one.
The new seasons. It's pretty funny. Some of the episodes would be like the whole thing. They make fun of... It's kind of like making fun of Degrassi. You remember that show?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Something Ontario. And it's got this guy and it's just... It's ridiculous. But... It makes me wonder what Ron Funches writes when he writes on that show. He probably just collaborates with other people, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They probably pitch ideas or just, you know, scenarios to put him in.
Yeah.
I did an online, he was online asking questions on Reddit or some one of those sites or whatever.
Right.
And that's when I told him he should be Al... In the reboot of Quantum Leap with Tom Lennon as Sam Beckett. Wouldn't that be weird?
That would be weird.
But I think they could pull it off, though. I think it'd be funny.
Yeah, Tom Lennon could probably pull anything off, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
He was way more multifaceted than I ever thought he would have been when I first saw him as Deputy Dangle.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Lieutenant Dangle or whatever his name was on that show.
He's still the... kicking around on that Sean Saves the World show.
Yeah.
But,
and I heard, I was watching that At Midnight show, which is he's an executive producer of, mm-hmm. and they said that the pilot of that was actually hosted by Tom Lennon and had Weird Al Yankovic on it, because Weird Al Yankovic was on it just like last week or something. Mm-hmm. And Tom Lennon was the host, and it was called Twitter Dome.
Hmm.
That was their original title for it.
Interesting.
I don't know which is better, Twitter Dome or...
Yeah, I'm probably run into legal crap that way.
Oh, because of the Twitter thing?
Yeah, possibly. And Dome.
There's so many domes.
Yeah.
Is that
under
patented?
The dome.
I heard that's the Candy Crush dude patented the word candy.
They're trying.
Oh, they didn't yet?
They've sent out letters.
They were making,
and I think they have a provisional patent on it.
They were making $3 million a day last year, I heard.
Something like that.
At first, crazy. I heard it was like $600,000.
They made enough money last year to hire lawyers to patent the word candy.
Yeah, so you know that they probably made a mm-hmm. little bit too much money if they got...
Yeah, they said that they haven't sent it to everybody, and I know that just perusing apps, like once an app comes out that's big like that, everybody puts some sort of candy app out there trying to make money off of confused customers.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. Like Candy Rush, you know?
Like making another game that's like it?
Yeah, but not even near as good or in-depth, and then charge like the same price, and then somebody buys it, and then it's not the game they want to buy. And
right.
Bait and switch.
Bullshit. Well, goddamn it. Fuck those guys.
Dude, I want to try some of those Oreos.
Yeah, maybe we should get some when we go get some pizza later. I mean pizza now. I would say when we go get some pizza later, but I mean pizza now.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to thank Pizza Now, our awesome sponsors.
Dude, those guys are awesome.
Yeah, I got one of those things on the last pizza that says you can get a free order of pizza bites with a purchase of any specialty pizza,
mm-hmm.
and there's no expiration date on it.
What?
I'm looking at it right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's that. So when you order a pizza, that will come on the box, and the next time you go back, you can get a free order of pizza bites, and once you get a free box, you're going to be buying them because they're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wanted to buy a pizza the other day, but we were in a hurry. Just so I could, well, so I could get the pizza, but also so I could get the pizza bites. Pretty good
pizza
stuff.
Pizza bites are good.
And since it's been kind of sunny the last couple of days, I know it's cloudy today on Monday because I have a premonition of things like this, but Brownsville Car Wash, come in there and spray your car down and then spray it up and spray it over, spray it off.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having some problems with it, but I'm working through them. Stupid things happening, but. That's beside the point. Go to tagcastpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon. Or maybe. Is that one of the sites that we've been having trouble with?
Yeah, you can go to...
Lisbon. Lisbon.com.
Yeah, or subscribe Stitcher. To us on iTunes or Stitcher or...
Stitcher, I think, is the
Facebook
most...
Facebook page player.
I think the most convenient way I've found to listen for myself, if I'm on my phone or even on my computer, is Stitcher. You don't have to have an account there. You can just go there. You can keep favorites in your favorites. We're not trying to plug Stitcher. We're plugging ourselves. But, yeah, mm-hmm. go listen to us wherever you can. Once the website's back up, just go there. Check every day. And then say, hey, your website's down. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to get to it, but on Wednesday's show, we're going to be talking about some topics that some people gave us, like some of our constant listeners, like Adrian Bacon Farrell and former guest Jerry Murphy has something he wants us to talk about, which we'll be talking about those. And don't forget, once the site's up and running, you can send us some money at our PayPal. Click on the donate icon to support us. Go to terrygile.com. I don't know if that's up or down. Probably all together, right?
Yeah. But, go to Jeopardy and sign up for their mailing list, and they'll send you, like, when they do their online quizzes.
Jeopardy?
Yeah. That's part of how they get people for their show.
Really?
You can go on there. Yeah. It'll be like you'll get like a certain time. You know, they'll test everybody at the same exact time. Right. And then it's like 50 questions. Dude, and it's fucking rough.
Is it hard? Their questions have always been too hard for me.
I got like 7.
Out of 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're tough. You got to know your history.
Yeah. Or maybe 11. 7-11. It's the same number.
7-11 come blackjack.
Yep.
That's from a song. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'll run the board sometimes, though, with some of those categories. But it's a lot different, you know, when you can throw out guesses and be wrong. Because even when you're taking the online quiz, you know, I mean, if you don't know the answer, you don't want to write anything because then you get negative points or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave it blank, you actually better than guessing wrong.
Yep, because you keep the points that you've earned.
Yep.
That's one thing that happens on a lot of games. The stupid Wii game that I play called You Don't Know Jack.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a trivia
Jack
game.
Jack Squat.
That's pretty funny. But, yeah, if you guess and miss, it takes away points. So don't just want to be guessing. Hey, thanks for listening on a Monday, you guys.
Yep.
I think it's cloudy outside, so just stay in. Or go out to Donkey Kong tonight.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Comedy tonight. if you listen today, which is Monday.
Or go play some Donkey Kong.
Or just go whack off in the shed.
Do that too.
I was doing that the other day. That was pretty cool. How long has it been since you whacked off in the shed, people?
Stay away from the machete.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Yep. And don't run and masturbate with scissors.
Hey, all you tags out there. Hope you're ready for fact.
Just kidding. We're talking about the micro machines guy, and I was going to try to do really fast talking on the thing because I got a lot of stuff to say. Here we go. We got some open mics in the area every other Monday. It's Dong Gong Comedy at Taylor's Bar and Grill, 13th and Contagion, Eugene. It's 9 p.m. It's free. Tuesday, Capital City Theater with Jared Richard. That's an open mic, 210 Liberty Street, Southeast in Salem. 8 p.m. It's $5 unless you're performing. Wednesday's at Tiny Tavern with Mac Chase. We got open mic, 4th and Blair in Eugene, 9:30 p.m. It's a free show, too. Thursday, Green Room. It's right next to Doc's Pad, 710 Willamette, Eugene. 8 p.m. free show. And now there's a new open mic in Eugene on Fridays at the Cush Cafe, 1235 Railroad Boulevard, Eugene, 9:30. It's a free show as well. We've got some comedy shows coming there that you might want to go see Friday, January 31st. Friday, January 31st at the Denny's Lounge in Albany. It's the Grand Slam Comedy Show with Max Brockman, Mike McGowan, Mac Chase, and Seth Milstein, hosted by me. I'm going to get you guys to do a joke or two. We got an open mic after the show. That's at 3435 Spicer Drive, exit 233, right off I-5. It's free, but we got a $5 suggested donation for the comics. And there's, like I said, open mic after the show. February 6th, it's Jerry Seinfeld at the Holt Center. 7 p.m. Tickets are probably $1 million, but check online for info on those. February 14th, it's the He and She Comedy Show, Valentine's Day Special, at the Brownsville Saloon with Doug and Teresa Wyckoff, I found out. Why cough? Because you smoke weed. That's why I cough.
Oh!
That's how I remember how to say it now. Doug and Teresa Wyckoff, and I'll be featuring for them. That's at 419 Main Street, 9 p.m. free, Friday, February 14th. Saturday, February 22nd, it's the February installment of Bleepin' Funny at Sambon's Garage with Leanne Joshua. That's 407 Blair Boulevard. It's a free show. It's 5 p.m., and it's in Eugene. Wednesday, February 26th, it's Comedy Night at the Mill Casino in Coos Bay. It's me doing two feature sets for some unknown headliner that I will know at some point but do not know yet. Two shows at 7 and 9:30 at the Mill Casino. I don't know where that's at. It's in Coos Bay. You'll have to Google it to find out the address. Friday, February 28th, it's the February installment of the Grand Slam Comedy Show. I'm pulling that one together right now, but I know for sure me and Gats will be there. You should be there, too. And then March 2nd, the earliest show ever at the Hole Center. It's old Bill Cosby, 2 p.m. Check online for tickets. All right. Also, don't forget, the fourth annual 420 show, a day late as usual, Doug Benson at the Wow Hall, April 21st. Music shows coming up. We got Saturday, February 1st, Septic Burial with Ware Squatch, War Crank, and Dark Confident at the Black Forest. Dark Confident features the son of Mike Scheidt from Yob. That's a 10 p.m. show. It's free. Sunday, February 2nd, Soulfly, American Roulette, and Chronological Injustice at the Hawthorne Theater. And I just found out the Chronological Injustice is comprised of little kids, 14 to 17 years old. So that's always cool to see them opening for a big national act like Soulfly. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. Friday, February 7th, it's World of Lies, Victims of Internal Decay, Spawn, Truculence, and War Crank at the Tonic Lounge. I think it's about $7, maybe $5. I don't know. It starts at 8 o'clock. You should be there. It's 3100 Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Saturday, February 22nd, it's Catechus, Bikini, and Flesh at the Front Street Bar and Grill in Albany. Don't know how that's going to go over, but we're going to see. I didn't have anything to do with it. The 23rd of February, it's a Sunday, we got Old School Doom Metalers Pentagram coming to the Hawthorne Theater with Radio Moscow and Kings Destroy. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. Death Angels come to Hawthorne Theater February 27th. Tickets are $16 and $20. Lots of good shows coming up. Carcass is coming. The Sword is coming. Loudness is on their way to Portland. Even Nile off in May. Most of those shows at the Hawthorne Theater. So go see some. Go do something. And in the meantime, I don't know, go to iTunes and rate our show. It's a Terry and Gash comedy show. TagCashPodcast.com. I have been Sean Connery. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.